I'm David Hooper, and this is Build the Big Podcast. I'm going to talk about interviewing celebrities on this episode. Before I get to it, though, a reminder. This Monday is the deadline to get into my remote podcasting package drawing. I'm giving away a remote podcasting package. It includes a Zoom H4n digital multi-track recorder, two microphones, cables, an advanced copy of my brand new book, Big Podcast, How to Grow a Podcast Audience and Get Everybody Talking About Your Show. It's not coming out until March. You get it in advance. You'll be the first guy to get it, the first one that comes off the press. It's coming to you. Something I call Big Podcast Blueprint. I'm going to work with you personally to grow your podcast this year, attract an audience, sharpen your message, make more money with your podcast. You'll also get VIP tickets to my Big Podcast launch party in Nashville if you want to meet a lot of other great podcasters, broadcasters. A lot of great people will be there. To enter, do it now before you forget, bigpodcast.us, bigpodcast.us, because it's just us. You and me, I'm going to help you grow your podcasting this year. I'm going to start it off with this remote podcasting package. You can win it right now, bigpodcast.us. Let's talk about interviewing celebrities. Yesterday, I talked about doing an interview with Richard Marx, talked about how I got that interview. I went out to him, then he came back out to me. So if you want the full story on that, listen to yesterday's episode. On this episode, I'm talking about interview organization. Richard Marx is not the only celebrity that I've interviewed. I actually do it quite often because my show, Music Business Radio, is all about the music industry. And by nature of that, we've got a lot of artists come in, many of them very well known. A common question that I get, and I think that this is an important mindset if you are trying to get, let's call them celebrities. Maybe not a celebrity in the music business sense, a household name that a lot of people would know, but celebrities in your niche. How do you get those people? You need to know and understand that celebrities need attention. That is what makes them celebrities. Without people like you, they're not going to be celebrities. You, as a podcaster, you're real media. Podcasting is real media. No longer is it the graveyard for radio DJs. No longer is it, as Steve Jobs once said, amateur hour. This is real media. It's right up there with television, right up there with radio, if you are doing what you need to do to attract an audience. I know people in television, I know people in radio, and I know podcasters that have just as big of a reach, many of them a bigger reach than those in traditional media. Just because you're a podcaster, only a podcaster, that doesn't mean you need to feel weird about approaching celebrities to be on your show. You feel perfectly comfortable doing that, but you do need to have the audience. Strangely enough, I actually talked about celebrity with Richard Marx on this episode. There was a Patti LaBelle quote that we talked about. Patti LaBelle, one time somebody asked her, this guy asked, do you ever get sick of people coming up to you when you're eating, whenever you're doing something, wanting an autograph, wanting a picture, wanting attention? And she said, no, never. I'd worry about it if they didn't come up to me. So think about that next time you're trying to go for a celebrity interview. Yes, you're going to be turned down, but a lot of people are going to say yes. Rejection is just part of it. Don't let that keep you from asking. Am I nervous when I interview celebrity guests? That's another common question that comes up. The answer to that, no. Part of that, remember, this is a music industry show, and I was a music marketing guy, and I've worked with these guys when I was doing their marketing. I've seen them behind the scenes. They've got their public persona. They've got their private persona. I've seen the highs. I've seen the lows. I've seen them as real people, and I see them as real people. And that's another mindset shift you might find helpful. These are just real people. Celebrity is just a person who has more attention than the average person. That is it. People are very similar. Some people do things at a bigger level than others, but that doesn't make them any different from you. There's something called red light syndrome. You may be familiar with it. You may experience it when you turn on your recorder and you get nervous. Well, the studio, that's your domain. So when you've got a guest who comes in, celebrity or not, they may actually find you intimidating. You've got to take control. It's your job to make the guest comfortable, make sure he knows that he's being taken care of, make sure that he knows that you want him to sound great. I talked a little bit yesterday about how I organized this interview, how it came to be. Richard Marx just walked into the studio. He was in between sessions, came from a writing appointment to do the interview. As soon as he was done with the interview, went back to a writing appointment. I didn't have time to do a pre-interview with him, really even introduce myself to him. But what I did do is ask him this. Is there anything in particular that you want me to talk about? New projects that you're working on, something that you're plugging now, a tour that you're doing? Asking just a couple of questions like that, that's going to put your guest at ease because he knows that you've got his back. You want to make him look good and you're going to help him promote what he wants to promote. That's why he's there. Let's talk about how I organize the interview. At my level, I get two kinds of guests. I get guests that are on the way up or I get guests that are peaking. Rarely do I get guests who are right in the middle of it. If somebody's doing a huge arena tour, I'm probably not going to get that interview. Those people are going to MTV. They're going to Good Morning America. They're going to the major news outlets. They're not coming to me. Artists who are on the way up, that's easy. I can talk about where they are now, where they're going. We can talk about the success that they've had. It's a very exciting time. Those guys are usually super engaged. They're ready to talk about it. Everything is new. Everything is exciting. After peaking, there's a balance that you have to work. You want to honor where your guest was, but you don't want to focus on it. You want to recognize that there's more to people than fame. Richard Marx, as I mentioned yesterday, I talked about the communication we had before the interview, mentioned it just now. It was interesting because I had zero prep. I had a message with him via Twitter, messages with his management via Twitter, but I was kind of surprised that it happened. But I did have one email with his management. And my question was, what do you want me to focus on? The same questions that I asked Richard when he came into the studio. And his answer, touring new material. Common answer. You can be pretty sure that that's going to be the same for your guest. Somebody wants to talk about what he's doing now. So as I mentioned, Richard Marx walks in. I said, what do you want to talk about? Anything specific? He was actually really cool. He's like, yeah, whatever. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. A cool interview. Some people are not that way. Some people really want to talk about what they're doing now. But I knew that he probably is going to want to talk about his tour dates, probably want to talk about some of the things that he's doing now. And something that I wanted to do was show listeners that there was more to this guy than what they know him for. There's actually a lot that he's done that you wouldn't know about. In fact, that's how I introed him. I said, this is Richard Marx. He sold 30 million records. There's a lot that he's done, but there's even more that he's done that you don't know he's involved with. And that's production, that's writing. That's another way to set your guest at ease if you get in a situation like this. You introduce him not just talking about the hits and your industry. You're not in the music industry, perhaps, but you've got your own version of that in your industry. And you introduce him not just talking about what he's done in the past, but introduce him saying that, yes, he has done those things, because that's what your listeners are going to get excited about, but also recognize him as the person that he is now, still out there working, still doing things. You have to ask yourself, what do listeners want? They want that background information. With Richard, the first 7 songs he had were top 5 hits. He's had 14 number 1 songs in total. You cannot deny that exists. That is part of his history. That's part of why he's on the show. But at the same time, everybody's heard the hits. You can't neglect it, but you don't want to focus on something that's already been done. You don't want to record the same interview that already exists. So here's what I tried to do. I wanted to talk about that. Again, that's why he's there. But I wanted to focus on a different aspect. What people don't know about him. Surprise. We wanted that discovery. We're taking you on the journey. This is what he did, but here is what he's doing now. Telling his story, making him even more interesting to fans and interesting to people who weren't fans. Maybe they're going to get engaged with him even more than they would have previously. So I knew some basic stories. One, his father was a huge jingle writer. Nestle's Crunch, Dial, Raisin Bran, Double Mint Gum. Richard Marx grew up in a studio. He sang on his first session when he was 5 years old. Jingles are just 30-second pop songs. In some ways, writing a jingle, much tougher than writing a pop song because you don't have that much time to get into it, tell the story, get somebody to hum along to it. It's not as easy as you might think. So I wanted to dive deeply into that. What did you learn growing up when your father was working on these jingles? How did that affect your writing? I knew he had a connection with Lionel Richie. Now, the rumor was that Lionel Richie discovered him. That's the legend. The true story, so much more interesting. He had had a friend from high school, 1 year older than he was. This friend is now a freshman in college, Richard Marx, senior in high school. He said, I was playing your demo in the dorm room. My friend says he's got a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend who knows Lionel Richie. Let's see if we can get him a copy of your tape. So that sounds crazy, right? But it actually happened that way. Lionel Richie calls Richard Marx. Richard Marx goes to Los Angeles. Lionel Richie says, hey, why don't you come on out to the studio? Backup singers on the first Lionel Richie album. just can't get the part. Now, Lionel Richie had heard Richard Marx's demo. So through the glass, he points at him. He says, hey, you've been hearing what's going on? Richard says, yeah. You want to see if you can give this a shot? First session right there. Nails it. The rest is history. So all this big Lionel Richie stuff, You Are, the album called Can't Slow Down. Richard Marx is the backup singer on that album. So interesting story. It's an element of discovery. That's what kicked off his career. We talked about writing for Luther Vandross, NSYNC, Keith Urban. He's produced several albums. Basic story set the framework. I wanted a framework of discovery, and that's what I did again and again and again. We just rolled the tape. Went for about 70 minutes, 75 minutes. Story after story after story. That's what happens when you've been in a business for 35 years. You get story after story after story, and we got him. I knew I didn't have a lot of time with him. We didn't worry about anything like IDs or organizing or anything. I mean, I had an organization in my head, and I'm pretty good about the beginning and the middle and an end, which is something I talk about here because I want you to get into it. You've got to have that beginning where you introduce him, going to walk him through the story, get to the end, the payoff, what he's doing now, end it, wrap it up in a nice bow so your listener has a complete experience. And you can kind of do that chronologically sometime. But also, as you get better, you've got that on the background, but you've got these subplots that you can fit in. In this case, it was mindset. Keep going back to mindset within these little stories. In this case, it was songwriting. Keep going back into that. Work in the studio from the time he was 5 years old to the time he's with Lionel Richie to the time he's writing his own stuff to the time he's doing his own demos to the time he's in the major label studio to the time he's writing songs for other people and going into the studio with them to the time he's producing. You got these little things that thread together. And that's how to organize it. You say, I want to talk about this aspect of his career, and I want to get it within these stories, and I want all the stories to be discoverable. I want there to be a beginning and a middle and an end so people have this chronological order and they can piece things together because that's what lets them organize it in their own brains, and it feels like they've got the beginning, the middle, and an end. I'm throwing a lot of stuff out there. I think the basic philosophy, though, if I had to put it in a couple of words, be curious. Be curious. What do your listeners want to know? What makes somebody interesting? It's not the stuff that we know. It's not the stuff that we put out in press releases or that we see in like major magazines and major media. It's the little stuff, like what enabled them to do that? What are some of those connections like Lionel Richie and saying, hey, come on, you think you can do this? And that kicked off this guy's career. That's what makes life interesting. And it makes the people that we're talking to even more interesting. As is evidenced by this interview, you never know how you can get a great interview. Sometimes like this one, you can tweet somebody, you can hook it up, and it happens in a relatively short period of time. Sometimes you just need to have a tape recorder on you. You're going to run into somebody, pull out a mic. Hey, let's get something on tape. To help you with that, I've got a remote podcasting package that I'm giving away. Going to help you start the new year right. It's a Zoom H4n Pro digital multi-track recorder. I've got two microphones for you so you can have a co-host, you can interview, whatever you want with them. These microphones don't discriminate. Got the cables for you. You're going to get an advanced copy of my brand new book. It's not out yet. That's why the copy is advanced. It's called Big Podcast, How to Grow Your Podcast Audience and Get Everyone Talking About Your Show. You'll get the very first copy hot off the press before anybody else gets one. Going to work with you in something I call Big Podcast Blueprint. I'm going to personally work with you to help you grow your podcast, attract a big audience, sharpen your message, and make more money with your podcast. I also give you VIP tickets for you and a friend to the Big Podcast Book Launch Party in Nashville, Tennessee. You want to meet musicians? Yeah, we got them here everywhere. Saw Keith Urban the other day eating vegetarian food. Whole Foods, you know you go there, recycling my stuff, figuring out where to put plastic paper. Look up Robert Plant's next to me. So come to Nashville, meet some of these people that I'm talking to. You're going to have that pro recorder I'm going to get you hooked up with. Maybe you'll even be able to get an interview. Bigpodcast.us is how to get entered. Bigpodcast.us. The government may be shut down, but the .us site is open. Bigpodcast.us. Go there right now before you forget, and I'll see you tomorrow on another episode of Build a Big Podcast.